This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This hour of Afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Save 10% on a brand new metal roofing system during their Spring Into Savings event. Visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com for details.
Down the line, his second hit of the ball game. This one goes to the wall. Ohtani starts the ninth with a double. His second hit of this ball game, and his second one clocked at 107 miles per hour. 0-2 to Shaw. Swing and a miss. That does it. Dodgers win on opening day in Japan.
This is WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens.
And three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was the call from across the pond, way across the pond. Major League Baseball opened today in Japan, but it's almost like the NFL. The 800-pound gorilla knew we were going to talk about the popularity of baseball globally right now because I believe we have some breaking Patriots news here. Stiz, you want to roll the sounder? Stiz does it. Breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
Is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by the BetMGM Network. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app or locally on WEEI AM 850.
According to friend of WEEI Afternoons, Adam Schefter, via Twitter, former Vikings 2019 first-round pick Garrett Bradbury has reached an agreement on a two-year deal worth up to $12 million, including $3.8 million guaranteed with your New England Patriots, baby.
We got a center, a mediocre center. What they going to say now?
You still need a tackle and a wide receiver is what they going to say now, but at least we signed somebody. The offensive line got a little bit better. David Andrews is gone. Who's going to replace the veteran center? Well, there's your answer, Garrett Bradbury. And I know somebody who wants to talk about this is a guy who used to take on centers and guards.
Oh, did I?
You did. You told me how.
Stun and separated their ass.
Stun and separate.
Showed me. Wow. Ran me into another room.
So are you happy with this signing, Ted Johnson?
I am. Because okay. Now we have a center. I thought maybe that it was going to be Cole Strange, but now that... And everyone's forgotten about Cole Strange. People have said, you know what, I'm out on Cole Strange. He was, guy, still a first-round draft pick.
Not a good one.
Nope. That was like 2 years ago. I mean, you know, who knows? He may be a lot better now. So I don't mind. I don't mind this shift, okay? I mean, David Andrews, great leader, all that. But I think he reminded everyone of the old guard. For better or for worse, I think a lot of those guys that were still here under Bill kind of have been flushed out. So I kind of understand why that is the case. I will say this. If you look at just to give you a quantifiable difference. If you believe in Pro Football Focus grades, they've graded David Andrews versus the Patriots' new center, Garrett Bradbury, simply by this. There are 64 centers that have been graded.
Okay.
David Andrews ranked 40th of all centers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Garrett Bradbury ranked 33rd of all centers.
We got better.
So
we
got
better.
Say, Incremental increase for the same salary.
And I'm thinking, okay, Minnesota Vikings, who's the coach that coach for the Vikings? Why is he here? Blah, blah, blah. My guess is Terrell Williams being the defensive line coach for the Lions played against this kid enough to go, you know what? That guy gave us problems. I want that. That guy is a good center. That's kind of how it works. I would look at it that way. If I'm a defensive coordinator and I see all these offensive players, I would give my 2 cents about an offensive player that we were thinking about bringing in, Fitzy.
Okay, so let me give you guys a couple of quick, immediate responses on social media to the Garrett Bradbury signing. Gentle note or a gentle reminder, it is believed that the Minnesota Vikings moved on from Garrett Bradbury because they believed him to be too small to handle the increased size and speed of the modern defensive lineman. And that's why they went with Drew Dolman, I believe, who they signed away from the Atlanta Falcons for a pretty penny this offseason. Immediate replies to Adam Schefter's tweet. Boris Sports, who's been a guest of the Six Rings podcast, a one-armed David Andrews clears this bum. Browns Muse, who, here we go, Vikings at Vikings Central. Nice knowing you, Drake May. That has 60 likes in 4 minutes.
Wow.
Some people saying good pickup has to be better than what they've had. That's largely based on how bad people believe the Patriots line to be. Nando 17 Celtics, terrible pass blocker, man, terrible pick. So it's super split.
And all these people have been watching center
right.
play.
Like I'm not,
I know, but I feel like, Ted, I feel like a lot of people like it because they see, hey, the Patriots are being aggressive on the offensive line. That's great. And then there are some people that watch the NFC North and say, I've seen this guy get knocked over. He's been bowled over. He is a little small. And you just said it. If David Andrews graded out his 40th best and this guy's 33rd, that's an increase. It's incremental, I guess. I don't know. I mean, what do you expect Doug Marrone to do with somebody that a team like the Vikings deem too small?
So I would just say this. Like, I'm not huge on PFF grades. It's great if you got a little bit better. Now, you're not even in the top 32. And there's a 32-team league, and you have the 33rd best center. So that's not great. I just look at his simple stat line. He started every game he's played in 6 years. For a team that usually has a good offense, the Minnesota Vikings have had good offenses over the years with Kirk Cousins, with Kevin O'Connell, like the various permutations of that offense have been pretty good. He's never missed more than 3 games in a season, I believe. So he's got some durability, which is a good thing. I think we've seen a lot of moving lineups in recent years. You'd like to have as many guys out there for a full season as possible. So I think you can talk yourself into it. I'm not willing to say they were aggressive, because they waited for a guy to get cut because the other team signed a better center, and then they gave him $3 million. For a team with $100 million in cap space, I'm not sure that really qualifies as aggressive, but I will say...
They went after the Vikings center, Andy, the guy from Atlanta. They whiffed.
That was aggressive. Yeah. This is waiting for the crappy guy to be set free by the team that got the good guy. But I will say, I just like the fact that I feel like you can get out a Sharpie now and write Mike Onwenu, and you can write Garrett Bradbury as two starting offensive linemen for the Patriots. I think you can.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about what?
Stanley got in my ear and started a conversation with me. I thought that he left the mic off, so I tried to say my apologies.
Sorry, that was my bad. I was sorry.
Nah, so, cool. What would you say you do around here, Stanley?
So,
the fact was the Minnesota center, the center did not go to the Vikings. He went to the Bears.
So my apologies.
The Morgan Moses signing, I think we think he's a starter if healthy, right?
Yes.
So you have three starters now. So and I would also argue you brought up a name, a first round pick.
Cole Strange.
Could he be your starting left? He was a guard originally. They moved to center.
He was a left guard originally.
So could we now have four starting offensive linemen?
Yes.
Whoa. Is it starting to come together?
Yes.
Do they have a starting offensive line in Foxborough?
We have too many. Let's trade. Let's trade Milton. Let's trade Wallace, let's trade. We should probably trade Moses. I mean, did you see the leadership speech he gave last week? His value will never be higher.
So,
We got Layden Robinson. You got City So. You got Cole Strange. Oh. Put them all in a hat. One of these guys has got to come out and be a halfway decent left guard, right?
Well, and that's what I like. When you shrink the number of positions that are wide open, you have more candidates for it.
Right.
And you feel better. Okay, so the right side, I think you can say we might be a right-handed football team right now and like to run to the right and
good.
Like to do things to the right side.
Roll out
right?
to the right. We've got a right-handed quarterback.
Absolutely. And you should, from that group of leftovers, those oddball misfit toys, find the left guard. Now we can really focus in. All they need, and it's a big one, is a left tackle. Whether that's first-round pick, second-round pick, Will Campbell in his short arms, whatever. We can now fixate our bitching, I guess, is the way I'll say it. We're just going to bitch about a left tackle from now till the season starts. Find a left tackle. And it feels like this isn't sexy, but it might be kind of okay enough, I guess, or good enough, meh enough, whatever. However you want to describe it. I'm not going to be like, they're going to win the Super Bowl because they got some great line.
Well, why not fire up the duck boats? What's the point otherwise? Okay, so going back to that PFF thing that Ted had mentioned previously, yes, he did grade 33rd out of all 64 centers. Gentle note, there are 32 teams in the NFL, so that's not great.
Yep.
Here's the difference, Andy. Everyone needs to get used to this.
Yes.
His run blocking grade is excellent. He's in the upper tier. He's 14th out of 64. The reason why the Vikings moved on from him, they didn't sign, once again, the Falcon center. They signed, I think, maybe the Indianapolis ones.
Ryan Kelly. Yep.
Yes, thank you. His pass blocking grade is not great. He was 55th out of 64. So
that's his
again,
big
that's,
weakness.
That's the issue they're going to have to work on. So, Tate Doug Marone, get to work, baby. It's a day after St. Patrick's Day. We're all out of our Guinness fog, and you got to figure out how to make your undersized center a better pass blocker.
See, the undersized part does not bother me because I've seen a crap ton of undersized centers.
Centers are always the
right.
smallest guys.
Ryan Wendell was really small here for the Patriots, and you find a way. I mean, first of all, you're protected on both sides. They generally care more about your brain and your technique in there, right? I mean, they don't necessarily. Now, if you are big and are strong, like now you could be Nick Mangold and be an all-pro center and a Hall of Fame center, but the undersized part, he's 300 pounds. He's an NFL. A lot of those guys are 295, 300, 305. That doesn't worry me. Now, if he can't pass protect, if we're watching a guy that's getting run over and killed in the A-gaps, okay, that's a different issue because if my guy Drake May is being pressured through the A-gap all the time because the center stinks, then we might have a problem.
How about this, Andy? You ready for this? Try not to, you know, strain a lat patting yourself on the back. Mike Reese just tweeted out 5 minutes ago. Opinion/analysis. Did a 3-game study of Garrett Bradbury from 2024. Week 1 versus Giants, Week 8 versus Rams, 17 versus Packers. And would compare his game to former Patriots center Ryan Wendell.
See, the great minds that have covered this team for decades, they tend to think alike. Mike Reese, Andy Hart, same. Couldn't be any more different other than we're both short because he's optimistic and I'm pessimistic. But so the Patriots have a center, Garrett Bradbury, the offensive line maybe falling into place, at least 4/5 of it. The left tackle position will remain open. We'll get to that a little bit later. It's Mock Draft Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. But up next, we are going to get to Christian Campbell, who played second base. He made some plays. He's ready to start the season at second base. I ended with a question mark. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. New within the hour from Adam Schefter, former Vikings 2019 first-round pick, Garrett Bradbury has reached an agreement on a 2-year deal worth up to $12 million, including $3.8 million guaranteed with the New England Patriots. Bradbury started all 88 games in which he played for the Vikings. The Patriots recently released 10-year veteran and team captain David Andrews, and Bradbury now is expected to replace him. Elsewhere in the NFL today, free agent pass rusher Azeez Ojulari has agreed to a 1-year contract with the Eagles, while Eagles defensive end Brandon Graham announced his retirement today after 15 seasons in the NFL. The Red Sox finished in a tie with the New York Yankees 4-4 on the road in spring training play today. Masataka Yoshida hit a 2-run home run, while Roman Anthony and Rob Refsnyder both drove in runs as well. Walker Buehler went 5 innings, giving up 1 earned run on just 3 hits. We had have regular season baseball today as well. The Dodgers beat the Cubs in Game 1 of the Tokyo Series. Game 2 is tomorrow. First pitch at 6:10 a.m. Eastern. The Celtics host the Brooklyn Nets tonight at TD Garden. Tip-off is at 7:30. Two names on the Celtics injury report, but they're big ones. Jaylen Brown is out for tonight's game, while Jason Tatum is listed as questionable. And the Bruins lost to the Buffalo Sabres in overtime last night at TD Garden 3-2. Boston starts a five-game Western road trip on Thursday against Bruce Cassidy and the Vegas Golden Knights. Brighten up your bank account by going to findmassmoney.gov. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll checks, or a refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It is a secure website and takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on-demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
And Soto swinging, diving stab as a great play at second base by Christian Campbell for the first out of the inning. The second base caught in the air by Christian Campbell, who's busy defensively, and he's up for the task. Campbell drives that one off the green monster. Wheel it around first base, heading into second. Here's the throw. He tries to reach around, and he does. And he claps, pumps his fist, and slides in with a double. Christian Campbell is having himself an afternoon here at JetBlue Park.
Thank you, Tom Caron, for painting the picture. He claps, he pumps his fist. I know exactly what happened. That's a hell of a play-by-play man right there. And maybe a hell of a young second baseman, Christian Campbell, yesterday, today, getting a double, making some plays defensively. And I don't know if you guys have noticed here on WEEI Afternoons, but Alex Cora, a former middle infielder, utility infielder, second baseman, has really been fixating on Christian Campbell's defensive mechanics and the importance of him improving in that area. I believe one of the quotes I read at one point was, an inch matters in terms of glove placement, in terms of turning double plays and things of that. Don't raise your eyebrows at me, Dan Ball.
I'm just glad you added the context, because that could have gone anywhere.
I'm talking baseball. An inch matters in baseball with your glove placement around second base.
You're not talking about your height?
It matters there, too, and unfortunately, I don't have enough. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller, but I'm not. Yesterday, Alex Cora told reporters after the game, Campbell did a good job. He made some plays. He's going to get more reps there. He played there today, so it feels like he's getting comfortable. He put a good swing on his double, had the walk. That was good, but I think defensively, today was the first day I was able to see it. That was the part I found most interesting.
Yeah, he hadn't seen much of him at second base, which is weird.
And it's like he's being, because David Hamilton is a veteran.
he played last year in the infield. He is in the best shape of his life, if you believe everybody down there. Has had a nice spring. I think most people are targeting David Hamilton to be the opening day second baseman.
It was basically at the start, him and Vaughn Grissom were the kind of two leading candidates.
And then Vaughn Grissom kind of hasn't taken the opportunity. Christian Campbell hasn't hit well. He was striking out way too much. I think they eventually would love to see Christian Campbell at second base, but he hasn't been able to secure that job. But again, he's taking steps closer, and I don't think it's over yet. I mean, I know opening day is, what are we now, 9 days away next Thursday?
8 days away next Thursday. And the first game is your Red Sox against the Rangers. And I believe it's a 4:05 first pitch, so you'll have a nice 1 hour WEEI afternoon pregame, followed by the official Red Sox pregame show. And then the 2025 campaign is underway. Guys, this from my buddy Jay, who was actually in Southwest Florida today at the game. Just left the Sox game. They had Marcelo Meyer playing second base. Awesome time. Campbell missed a play that would have been amazing had he made it. Meyer just missed a home run as well. Both are way bigger physically than the last time I saw them. A noted physical improvement in real life. So that's interesting to hear. From a fan's perspective, someone who lives in Florida and goes to spring training, that you can notice and see that they've actually both grown physically as well and are looking more imposing, major league ready, and talented.
We should also remind you that next Wednesday, the day before opening day, we will begin our season-long series of interviews with Alex Cora. I think he's going to join us more often than not in the 2 o'clock hour, depending on the schedule for that day, that night with the Red Sox. But Alex Cora, which... anyone who's listened in the past knows those are tremendous interviews here on WEEI Afternoons. Think the opposite of Bill Belichick. Think of a Bill Belichick interview. Think the opposite, and that's Alex Cora actually talking to you professionally about his baseball team and all his players and answering questions.
Just real quick on that, he's got it feels like there's a different tone from Alex. Think about it. This time last year, he didn't have a long-term deal. The team wasn't spending any money. It was a lot of question marks. Not so much now. He's got his long-term deal. He's got a lot of questions already answered, and he's dancing a different tune this spring training.
And I don't know if you'll agree with me. Like, I still think he has questions to answer about his baseball team, but the difference is there are answers. He just has to pick the answer, and the answer might even change over April, May. But it felt like in the past we had questions about certain roles or positions, and you're like, I don't know, like shrug emoji. I don't know who you want to put there. Now it's like, do you want Grissom, Campbell, or Hamilton? You pick your flavor, and the flavor could change as one of those guys gets hot or develops. And I think that's part of the evolution for him. I did get a text from a certain mole that wanted to help me out. Apparently, Christian Campbell also mastered the old ABS today, which is the automated...
sweet abs?
No, well, I thought that too when I read the text the first time, but it's ABS. They could have capitalized it, so I know
it was an acronym. Automatic braking system.
Nope, the automated balls and strikes system, which should be ABSS, but it isn't. They cut one off for savings, I guess, according to the mattress discounter that I've heard before in their commercials. But he utilized that to overturn a strikeout, drew a walk, and then that led into a Yoshida home run, so... crazy like a fox, young Christian Campbell, earning some bonus. That's got to earn you some bonus points with the manager, too, right? Something like that.
Are you kidding me?
You use your ABS, you don't strike out, you walk, and then after the walk, there's a home run. Like, that's winning baseball
like
right
up,
there.
Baby.
That's winning baseball.
It's not going to help him in the regular season in the majors, but it's baseball IQ.
He's also young, so it could help him in the regular season someday in the majors.
Yeah,
right?
Someday. Not today.
That's a separate debate that I know Tito Francona was not allowing the Reds to use the ABS during spring training for that very reason, Dan Ball.
Right, because it's not a 2025 regular season thing.
Right.
Although, I love it, personally.
Absolutely.
It's quick, it's effective, you only get a certain amount, I believe.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
know the specifics.
I think it's only like two or something. It's pretty low.
I think of all the replays that are available in sports, this one has a lot of merits to
it. It's very similar to the advent of the NFL's, whatever they call the booth review, where like, the ref is walking back, and he's like, I've been told that was not a first down, mm-hmm. so we are respotting it. It's like, on the fly, quick, get it done, move on. So the Red Sox played today. They are winding down spring training. Major League Baseball is underway in Japan.
Tokyo.
In the Dodgers won today. I think they may actually go 162-0 because they are a super team.
They have this guy that DHs. Apparently, he used to pitch as well, and there's rumor that he may again.
Yeah,
number 17.
He good.
Shohei Ohtani. This guy looks good, man.
I think it's called Ohtani. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Not positive.
Honest to God, is it possible that the Dodgers got a $70 million a season bargain?
Oh, absolutely.
Perhaps,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if he pitches again, he's a bargain because Soto just got the same money to just hit. Like, and they have a guy that does both. That contract will age well as long as he stays healthy.
I got to give you guys one little story from the Athletic. Evan Drellich is covering what do they call it, the Tokyo series?
Yes.
In Tokyo, Japan, early this morning or whenever after the game. And he was talking about during the game. Mm-hmm. That just outside of the dome where they played the game, fans streamed through a 31,000 square foot Major League Baseball retail store. Okay, and in this retail store, Fanatics, the company Fanatics, MLB clocked an average of 1,100 transactions every hour across 140 registers.
Jesus, they're printing money.
It's
Manfred, you've got to be kidding.
That's how you give Ohtani, $750 million.
Manfred.
Remember, Andy, when we were talking about, like, would the Red Sox be interested in him on our weekend show, I floated the idea, and I know it goes against everything that they have in the collective bargaining agreement and blah, blah, blah. But if I were the Red Sox, I would have come at him with, like, a piece of the jersey sales. It was all based on the Messi contract that was signed at Inter Miami, Ted. Like, the idea that, like, he gets a piece of Apple TV rev, he gets jersey sales, he gets to buy into the MLS when he's done. Like, he's going to make a fortune there like he has around the world. Shohei Ohtani is worth every damn penny the Dodgers have paid, and I wish the Red Sox could have been like, Sam Adams is giving you a dollar for every beer. You're going to get, Fenway Johnny's is giving you $5 off every Ohtani, $5 for every Ohtani burger.
You're the new co-host on Charlie Moore Outdoors.
Yeah, fine.
Think he can
unlimited
fish
cameos
probably
on WEI afternoons. Whatever.
If he can pitch and hit, I bet you can fish too. He seems like he does a lot well. But Ted, I'm glad you brought that up because it's something I wanted to touch on today. The popularity of baseball in Japan is obvious. I read a stat that they have somewhere between the people answer that 65% to 70% of Japanese residents claim they are baseball fans.
Yeah, I would
so
love
two-thirds.
I'd love to know what football fans in America, what that is, just to have something to compare it to.
Well, I can give you MLB baseball. It's
in America.
It's dropped below 50% of Americans call themselves baseball fans. So less than 50% of Americans say they're baseball. I kind of was too. But in Japan, it's rising. It's at 66% and rising. And it made me wonder. Now, I did a little research, these numbers, in a lot of places where Mexico, it's only like 10%. There's others that are in low numbers. But in totality, is there a chance that baseball is becoming more popular globally than it is in the U.S., where, you know, where Major League Baseball, where it originated? I don't know if it's there yet, but it feels like it's trending in that direction. And especially your numbers and I saw get-in prices were $3,500, and there really weren't many tickets available because most people that had them had no interest in selling them. They wanted to go to the game.
I hear what you're saying, and Rob Manfred, when he talks about Japan specifically, he thinks that there's payoffs in the billions there eventually. I don't know if it's as – I think basketball is more of a global game than
– Oh, it is.
So basketball, there was they referenced the NBA in here, that there's 200 TVs, 200 countries that watch NBA games.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the NFL has almost that much as far as watching the Super Bowl. But I don't know what it is for Major League Baseball as far as how many countries are watching Major League Baseball. My guess is it's a lot less than 200.
It's less. Now, obviously, you have some of the Caribbean, the Dominican areas,
Cuba,
that are popular.
Yeah.
But I did wonder if it goes in this direction, and I don't know how far it can go. We're so used to Ohtani coming to America, Sasaki coming to America, Ichiro coming to America. Will there ever be a time that the interest and maybe the finances allows more American baseball players to consider, I'll go play in Japan, and not just at the end of their careers? We've seen some of that. I think Lou Maloney may have played in Japan for like 1 year.
Yeah. So that's that old Tom Selleck movie, Mr. Baseball. Yes. That used to be the way you would continue your
career. But could it happen that a guy says, oh, you're offering me $60 million for a season? I'll come play in Japan. It looks fun.
But the best of the best play in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, for now, we'll see. I don't know. Did you happen to notice today's game? Both starting pitchers, Japanese. The guy we're talking about, Japanese. Like, I believe the starting pitcher tomorrow, one of the two is Japanese. Yeah. Like, there's an influx
of talent.
Yeah, but
they're still coming over here to play.
Yeah, but maybe they'll stop coming over here and tell you to come over there.
They have a major
league. My house.
They have a professional league over there, but it's just the best players in Japan still want to come over here and play because of the money.
Go and, USA, boys.
But go, with numbers like that and passion
Keith?
The money might continue to grow in Japan. I don't know. I find it interesting. Yeah. It's also interesting in comparison to the NFL. So we've had the Wembley games, all the England games, the Europe games, whatever. Yep. And it's led to discussion, oh, could there ever be a team in England? Could there be a division in Europe? We'll put four teams over there. Well, you can't have American teams playing in Japan, right? It just wouldn't be possible. So you grow the game over there.
Well, they are right now.
No. I mean, like, a team there. They say put a team in London.
No way.
If you were in Japan, it's impossible. You'd have to also have, like, you couldn't do it. There's really no way to do it. It's literally a world away, basically, to play over there. But it's good for the game of baseball in general, World Baseball Classics and things of that nature.
Think about the countries that play in the World Baseball Classic, though. They're not. It's Dominican. It's Cuba. Oh, yeah. It's Puerto Rico. What is that? No, that's not right. It's Japan. It's Korea. South Korea.
I like that you caught yourself.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
well
I caught myself there. That doesn't make sense.
Of America, you idiot.
So I just don't think it has the global appeal, and I don't know if it ever will.
Anything's possible!
All right, I'm gonna quiz with Stiz. You ready? When was the Major League Baseball started? When did it start? Not Major League Baseball, but when did baseball start being played in Japan?
1977.
Nope.
1969.
Nice. No, it's 1875.
So, like, the same as here?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I'm not kidding you. Yeah.
This is very much like the quiz with Stiz. That doesn't sound right.
So
there's a deep
Wiki says baseball was first introduced into Japan in 1859.
Oh, so I was wrong. So
you were actually giving it to modern age.
Right.
Even earlier.
Thank you, Stiz.
Wow, this is like the quiz with Stiz.
1859.
I was
like late 1800s.
Is it A?
In all seriousness, does that not blow anyone else's mind? But
mind blown.
Doesn't that show you the popularity of the sport? Soccer is a world sport because it's been around the longest.
Yeah.
Baseball is a popular sport.
Mutations into cricket and other sports that just involve like a stick and a ball. That doesn't surprise me. The way we play it probably hasn't been around the same, but in some variation, shape, or form, it doesn't surprise me that it, like, ball, stick, swing, hit, run has been around for a century and a half.
Like our kids, pickleball in like 80 years is going to be like the biggest thing ever.
We'll see.
All right,
It feels like it could be.
You never know.
It's quite popular, and it is fun.
Unless everyone tears an Achilles playing it.
So there's a deep, rich history of the sport in that country, and that's part of why it is as popular as it is.
You really did teach me something. 1859 or to 70, somewhere in that range, a long freaking time ago. This is a dumb question, Dan Ball, but in our stats and information department.
Yeah.
When did we start playing baseball in the U.S.?
I don't know. I'll look.
I mean, because I thought it was like a mid-1800s type game.
Late 1800s, yeah.
So, it can't be late 1800s.
1862.
There was baseball in Japan before the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. How about
that? So Abner Doubleday is a fraud? Cooperstown is a fraudulent place?
And in classic quiz with Stiz fashion, I found 1846.
I feel like that has to be right. Because, because you would have just shaken everything we've been built on if Japan invented baseball.
And you know where it was created, Andy? The state of Atlanta.
I just got that for a minute.
Oh, man.
Everybody's bullying everybody today.
Baseball's the national game in Japan.
Well, I believe that. I didn't realize. If this had been a quiz with Stiz, I would have no chance of getting that off the bat.
That's why I asked you.
That was well done, Ted.
I'm answering this question once and for all. The first record of baseball is in French in 1344.
Oof. What about Abner Doubleday? And All that.
So, you know, adaptations years later, whatever else.
But so he stole it?
Yeah.
So he's like any good comedian. He just stole it from somewhere and moved on.
Well, to Fitzy's point about ball, stick, hit, run, that, like, those concepts have been out there for, were out there for hundreds of years before that.
Yes. That is correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. 617.
As a matter of fact, that was the original name, ball, hit, stick, run.
617-779-7937. Yes, Ted?
If the Red Sox were smart, they do what the Dodgers are doing, which I read in this Atlantic article, is that you kind of got to be in Japan and cultivating relationships with the Japanese players and the system to get their players on your team.
Oh, yeah.
You can't come in, the Dodgers have been working on for years trying to get Shohei Ohtani to their team.
Right.
And then once he was about to go to the Angels originally to come to America and play in the Major League, it was like all these teams came in late. Right. And it was like, no. From a cultural standpoint, the Japanese wouldn't vibe with those other teams because they just came in last minute where they had already laid foundations with the Angels and the Dodgers.
It's
and
a
that
long
kind of
recruitment. And
there's a cultural difference, and you have to be very mindful of that when you are trying to pluck their players to play in the major leagues.
Tom Selleck taught me that. Mr. Baseball.
Great movie, man.
617-779-7937, WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we talk about the Boston Celtics. They play the Nets tonight without Jaylen Brown as we continue to work our weird way through the end of the season as they prepare for the playoffs. They need to stay rested but don't get rusty. Talking a little Celtics up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Celtics roll into Miami and beat them at their place again, and that's 13 wins in the last 15 matchups with Miami. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" baller.
Good job, Stiz, on the rejoin here. Boston Celtics play the Brooklyn. I went old school. The Brooklyn Nets. Don't roll your eyes at me, Dan Ball. That's a second time.
Jay-Z didn't do all that work for nothing.
I still do the same thing, Dan. I still call them New Jersey.
They were the New Jersey Nets longer than they've been the Brooklyn Nets. Give me a few years. They're still the San Diego Chargers. They're still the Washington Redskins. Old dogs don't learn new tricks.
Yeah, but weren't you reading when you said that?
No. It's all straight off the top of my head, baby.
There's the issue.
That is the issue. Good point. So no Jaylen Brown tonight. And the Celtics were in a dogfight against the Nets the other night after blowing a 20-point lead. They are, I think, 13.5-point favorites, Fitzgerald. What are we looking
at? That seems an apt line, even with a not-full-boat Celtics roster. Side note to that, I would take the over-under of number of times you see the full Celtics roster at like 1.5 games, maybe 2.5 the rest of the way, Andy.
I would take if you set it at 2.5, I'll take the under. If you set it at 1.5, I'll take the over. I'd thread the needle there at two.
Two seems appropriate just to make sure they're in rhythm. Hey, oh, what's up, Zinger? Hey, how you doing, Drew? Nice to see you. Because I think load management and injury prevention, just to make sure that they're fully healthy for late April and beyond, is paramount to everything else right now.
Ted, we've talked to you about this Celtics team, comparing them to the 0-2 Patriots, foot off the gas, all of that.
Yep.
We haven't talked to you about, and you guys, your Patriots and other Patriots teams, were in position at times, the rust versus rest aspect of everything. This is a long stretch of games here. I think it's 14.
They have 14 games left, yep.
Mm-hmm. Is that, you as an athlete, and I know two very different sports, once a week versus like that whole thing and the Colts, those comparisons, but where are you on what the Celtics need to accomplish over the next 14 games to make sure they're ready, but healthy, but, you know, they got their conditioning, but they're not overworked and they can't be rusty, but they like, feels like there's a lot for Joe Mazzulla to sneaky manage over the next 14 games to have the defending champs ready.
And it's hard to compare it to anything, right? I mean, you know, our seasons, you know, 03-04, we were 14-2 in both those seasons. I mean, we lost our last game, a regular season game, to Miami in 2004. Oh, and we were trying hard. We had everybody playing in that game. We all knew that we had a bye, but we're still playing. I can't really compare it to anything from anything I've experienced, which is Just because it's, you know, they have 5 weeks, guys, right? 14 games.
I think it's crazy.
5 weeks until the beginning of the playoffs. And so you just, I think you give the guys the rest that need it. You know, I don't know, Tatum's minutes are always a question. You know, the guys that played in the Olympics. But, you know, I also would kind of guard against, especially against Tatum and Brown, I would sit those guys because I almost want Drew Holiday, Derek White, handling the ball a little bit more in games like you've seen in these last games because it, just in case, I don't know, an ankle sprain that we saw from Jason Tatum a couple years ago maybe, you know, ruins it. Or just the predominant ball handlers that we're expecting, they're probably going to be JB and JT in the playoffs. They'll sit those guys and give those guys I mentioned maybe a little bit more opportunities to run the offense. So guys are setting screens for those guys. What does the offense look like when they're kind of setting the offense up? And so to me, I would try different ball handlers, you know, and guys from night to night. And I would give JB and JT a rest. And I get nervous about KP. So KP, he played the whole fourth quarter in this last game, but he looked a little gassed. And whenever he gets gassed, his legs get wobbly. And those legs, whenever he stumbles, it's like, oh, there's a blown ankle.
Right.
Oh, there's a tendon. There's a pulled hamstring. And so I wouldn't push him too hard either because I just worry about him getting fatigued and then making a misstep, and then the whole thing comes tumbling down. And I don't think they need him in the first couple series. I don't, KP, but I think they're going to need him in the East Championship and in the finals.
I don't have one singular player I'm really worried about. Obviously, health. I want them to all be healthy. It's like we went through that long stretch of December, January, wondering, are they playing with their food or is their foot not?
Won a game, lost a game.
Right.
Won a game, lost a game.
Then they hit their stride after that inflection point against the Heat that we picked out live.
Go, 4:52 p.m.
Yep.
Andy, congrats. We're almost at the three-hour mark without a you people. So
damn
keep,
right.
Keep it up.
Yeah. And I know you people might say now we're creating questions. I just wonder, is this team mature enough to handle this 14-game stretch? And I understand that they're mature and they want a title and all these things, but they proved earlier in the year that they were a little weird with their motivations and their executions, even within games. It's like sometimes they go up by 20 and it's like, oh, we're done here. We can just cruise to victory. And then you look up because it's the NBA and they're trailing a quarter later. And I just wonder, I think Mazzulla's, I guess my long and short of it is,
yeah,
Mazzulla's going to earn his paycheck in a weird way over the next 14 games.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it is unique, Fitzy, and I'll say this. I think the one thing that you don't have to worry about if you're Joe Mazzulla, and that's a good thing, is where they are in the standings.
Right.
So they are.
That's what I love.
Right? So it's like they're. Oh, do you want to be the one seed? Do you want to be the three seed? What's the best matchup? You know? At this point,
matter.
Do we really care if it's the Hawks or Orlando, which is who they'd play depending on the playing game?
Mm-hmm.
No. But so they are, whatever. They're 7.5 games behind Cleveland, and they are, what, 6.5 games in front of the Knicks. So we don't have to worry about seeding.
Locked
which is
and loaded.
A huge, huge kind of talking point that is now off to the side.
Unless you don't trust them to not worry about anything and lollygag their way through 14 games and then all of a sudden be like, whoa, it's playoffs? Yeah. No one told me the playoffs were coming. We've been screwing around for five weeks.
Does this team seem... I feel like I could point to a million different examples in the past of an immature team. It's hard for me to point to one this year. I just feel like they get it. They got it. They won. They got their money. They are cool, and they're playing with a confidence and a professionalism that I don't worry about them kind of, I don't know, not being able to handle these last 14 games.
And I will say, you're worried about Tatum, but Fitzy, we've had these discussions with him of late, talking about wanting to play all the time, wanting to play on the road, sort of picking up the Xander Bogaerts thing about, you know, I'm Jason Tatum, and if some dad bought his kids tickets in Brooklyn for one game against the Celtics, he expects Jason Tatum to play that game.
The Broadway return policy. It's like, hey, wait a second, hold on. I'm here to see, I want to see the stars. I paid to see the Boston Celtics, not the main / Boston Celtics.
Fitzy, let me ask you this, because I think this was an issue in the past. Is the MVP, is JT close to getting the MVP this year? Is that he wants to chase in the last 14 games?
I mean, close? He's a top five candidate.
SGA has this, so long as he doesn't, like, I mean, I don't even know how he would lose it. SGA is clearly right now,
we don't have to worry about him worrying about that, right?
Nope, that is not even a concern
probably
at
not.
This point now. You know what? You know what? You know what they're going to say now? The one thing he wants them to say is, Jason Tatum, you are a back-to-back NBA champion, and you took home the finals MVP. That's what he wants them to say now.
So what they say now?
Yeah, that was his original thing.
But what they say now?
What they going to say now?
What they going to say now?
What are they going to say now?
What we're going to say now is that we're going to reset top of the hour. Ted Johnson's here, and we're going to get his opinions, and I know you all been waiting for it because you love this topic. The dynasty, the Patriots, Belichick, Kraft, credit, and blame. It's been 5 years since Tom Brady left. It's also been 5 years since the Patriots were anything close to a contender, real playoff team, anything like that.
Whose fault is that?
That's the question Ted Johnson will answer next here on WEEI Afternoons.